How many of you this morning are alive? Just give me a show of hands. Let me see. Hang on. Hold them hands up. Let me see. All right. That's good. 100% of us are alive. How many know that when you're alive, things happen? Things happen. Let me tell you something. The reality is, it's not so much the things that happen that matters. It's what we do because of it. It's our response that matters. Our response is what matters. Because no matter what has happened to us, we have an authority to do and to enact a response. We have an authority in our lives, and then our response will determine a lot of what happens next. And so when we add our heart and we add God's word and we begin to hold to his plan, then the response becomes different than if it just came from our flesh. And so when that response comes out of the Spirit of God, that response will begin to admit and push the Spirit of God right into the atmosphere around you. And you, like she said, it might take a moment. It may take a moment. It may take several moments. But if you will just be consistent to believe it, if you'll be consistent to stand in it, it will change the circumstance. And this, when our response can't come out of the things that we've always done. See, when she was reading here out of Luke 5, when Kianta was sharing out of Luke 5, their response to Christ showing up on the scene could no longer be dictated to what they knew, because what they knew was no longer relevant to the situation. What they knew was no longer the thing that was in the order of the situation. God was calling a place of alignment with him, and out of that alignment with him, progress happened. Out of alignment with him, prosperity was released. See, if they'd just done what they knew, they were fishing at night for a reason, because that water was very clear. And so the only way that you can catch fish in a net is if they can't see the net, which means it has to be dark. That's why they fished all night long. And so when they were already in the break of day, and already daylight was already there, history showed them that you can't catch fish when it's daylight. Their whole experience showed them you can't catch fish when it's daylight. But God, when he said, let down your net, now something else was released. Something else that came from the Spirit of God. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit, saith the Lord. It's his Spirit that makes the difference. And when we began to understand and release the Spirit of God, it's not everything that we can do is going to come out of our own strength. It has to come from the Spirit of God. When we begin to trust in the Spirit of God, when we begin to trust the Holy Spirit to release something new, guess what? It can happen. Hallelujah. When your response comes out of the Spirit, it can change atmospheres quickly. When the response comes out of the Spirit, go with me to Matthew 25. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Was it 25? I don't know. Somewhere in here. Okay. Matthew 27, verse 25. Hallelujah. So when we go, see, because your response, no matter what the situation, somebody can have something set up for you that was basically intended in a negative way. It was intended to be harmful or hurtful. It was intended to be hateful, but it doesn't necessarily have to control the day. You see that when you see right here in verse 25 of chapter 27, Matthew, it says, all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. You think about what they're doing. They're cursing themselves. But what they said in hate, God gave them in love. Because it's that same blood that is now upon me. It's the same blood that's now upon you. And that same blood, instead of being an object of hate and an object of cursing, it's an object of blessing. It's an object of release. And it's an object of bringing increase. What they uttered in hatred, God released in love. His response dictated the day. His response changed what happened. It purely came out of his response. There was a day, this keeps coming up, and I keep trying to not do it, so I'm just do it. And so there was a day where I got punched in the nose. And you know, my normal response to getting punched in the nose is to punch their nose. I mean, that's just a response, okay? I mean, I probably wouldn't do it to Steve, but I'd do it pretty much to anybody else. And, hallelujah. But the response was you punch them, but instead, what I did is I just grabbed them and I held them and prayed in the Spirit until the rage went away. And when the rage went away, everything was good. And then I went to the hospital and got my nose fixed. Hallelujah. But we see your response can change the nature of what happens next. And it's up to you to just simply go, God, what is it that you're trying to do here? Because when we understand what he's trying to do here, then we can be an object of release into the atmosphere. We can be the vessel that God rides in with to change everything around us. Just like Tina was speaking about, she wanted an atmosphere. She wanted to create a place for holiness and for the anointing to reside. So she had to be the vessel to let it ride in. Hallelujah. We talked about last week, we talked about Peter and how Peter was disqualifying or discounting himself. Remember? Because basically they said, you know, tell the disciples and Peter. Tell the disciples and Peter, because Peter's not really believing he's a disciple right now. So I want you to go and tell the disciples and Peter. Be sure that he can't disqualify himself from this moment, because I'm fixing to show up. And when I show up, everything's going to be restored. When I show up, when Jesus himself shows up, there's going to be a response that happens. And it's going to be what's different than what's in Peter's life already. Because see, you can see how he came in to his place of faith. In Luke 5, you saw that he said, I am but a sinful man. And see, because he had denied Christ 3 times, that denial was sticking in his thought. That denial was dictating his response. And he was recognizing that, you know what, I did something here that wasn't pleasing to God. And I must be still like I thought I was originally, that worthless man, that sinful man. Your assessment of yourself when it comes purely out of your past is not accurate. When that assessment of yourself comes purely out of that thing that happened in the past, when it comes purely out of those things that were a result of your flesh, it is not who God says you are. And Jesus, when he met Peter beside the lake and he had the fish already on the burner and he was already cooked and already breakfast was already being served, he wasn't looking to chastise Peter in the moment. He was looking to affirm who he had called him to be. He didn't look at him and said, you know, the best thing you can do is, the best thing you can hope for is to carry John's books now. You can follow John around and we'll let you, you know, you can be crowd control. No. He said, Peter, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Take care of my sheep. I got something for you. Don't lose sight of what I called you to do. Don't lose sight, because I've already programmed you. I've already given you what is necessary. All you have to do is tap into it. I'm going to remind you right now, because it's who I've called you to be. I've called you to be my rock. Come and be the thing that I'm willing to build the whole church upon. Jesus was calling him a rock. He was calling himself unqualified. See, that's something that we do as people. We do with it and we don't even understand. And so sometimes, you know, we do it because we want to be pious. We want to be humble. I remember one of my visions early in my walk in my Christian faith, I'm at a little meeting, and all of a sudden it's like the earth passed away, and I'm just standing before the Lord. And off in the distance, I'm standing on the top of a mountain, and off in the distance I can see the sea of glass. And there's a trail that comes up the mountain right by me. And I see this procession. All these men of war. The Lord leading on horses. And then after the horses are the men with the other things, the other implements and the banners. And then after that, there's the infantry. And I tried to fall in with the infantry. And the Lord stopped the whole procession. He said, no, I want you to come here. And he pointed me to the horse. There was several horses behind his. And see, I was trying to put myself like her oil. I was trying to take just the minimal oil, okay? Just take the little thing because that's what I deserve. No, he said, you're something I've set aside for you, and I want you to step into it. It's something I want you to jump up on here and know who I've called you to be. He's not just telling that to me. He's telling that to you. He's telling that to you. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. And the more that we understand and the more that we allow His Spirit to be what determines our response, the more we'll be able to fulfill that purpose. We have to see ourselves as He sees us. We've been talking about that for a couple of weeks now, but we have to see ourselves as He sees us, because as we see ourselves as He sees us, we'll know the conqueror He's called us to be. Go with me to Numbers 13. So many places to so many places to go. So many promises. It's an alignment that God is doing. It's an alignment by His Spirit. Do you understand the difference between power and authority is alignment? The difference between power and authority is how you are aligned. The reason that they were able to receive 2 boatloads of fish was not because of their power, not because of their might, but because of their alignment. I've had a fascination with muscle cars all my life. I like to go fast. I remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my dad bought a 63 and a half Galaxy 500 convertible with a 406 in it, which put out 405 horsepower. It had so much power that we went through 2 transmissions in the short amount of time that we had that car. Because if you stomp on it enough, it burns the transmission up. My dad stomped on it. I liked it. I liked it a lot. So I owned also several others. So through my life, I wound up with a Buick Grand Sport. Because why? Because the Grand Sport was the most powerful, one of the most powerful, quickest cars of its day. Then I owned a Mustang. So I had all these cars because I like to go fast. And so there's an association with power that I think we all enjoy. But there was a day... There was a day when the power wouldn't be enough. Because see, I used to think that, you know, in traffic, the right of way was consisted about who had the most horsepower. So, if you didn't have enough horsepower, you didn't have right of way. There were a few people that wound up in the ditch because of my belief system. I am no longer responsible because I've been forgiven by the blood. So in that endeavor, see, there was a day where we came and I did a funeral for a young man who was killed in a drug incident. And he had just gotten himself, he was just getting himself out of that lifestyle. He had just found the Lord and was saved, but he happened to show up at the wrong apartment at the wrong time. and he was the object of somebody else's need to get into the gang. And so he was shot and killed. And so as I'm doing this funeral, I'm surrounded by these dudes who are all Mexican mafia. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, I might not get out of here. And so the wonderful thing was that when I asked them to all bow their head, because I spoke about choices and the choice to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And as we spoke about that, I asked them to bow their heads. And you know what? Every one of them responded in respect and honor. Every one of them bowed their head. It was amazing. But as we left there, we had to go then from there, when we were in Galveston, and we had to go down all the way back into Houston at 5 o'clock rush hour. And I thought, man, we'll never get there. We'll never get there. But see, then the police escort come and they pulled in front of the line. And as the police escort pulled in front of the line, then what they did is they began to drive and go down the freeway, right down the heart of all the other traffic. And we just passed them on the left and on the right. We just kept right on moving. Never slowed down. See, all the horsepower in the world couldn't do what authority did. The authority that man carried as he rode that motorcycle in front of the line took us places that all the horsepower in the world couldn't have delivered you to. So there's an alignment that has to happen. And when we get aligned with the Spirit of God, there's a release of increase. When we get aligned with the Spirit of God, there's a release of prosperity. When we get aligned with the Spirit of God, there's a release of authority. And the power that you have can now actually meet the road somewhere. That's what he's calling us to. An alignment. Because see, when our response becomes one that's in alignment, then our response is going to release the authority and the power he's already given us. There's a joy in your heart, and it's released because of the place of alignment. There's a joy and a power and authority just in the peace that you carry, and it's released when we get aligned with the Spirit and the nature of God. When our response doesn't come out of our flesh, but it comes out of what his desire was for the situation. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can carry more in a spirit of peace than all the people in the world can carry with their anger. A spirit of peace. The peacemakers aren't those who come and make an agreement between one party and another party. The peacemakers are ones who carry an atmosphere of peace with them that shifts the place that they walk into. That's who he's calling us to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me get on to the next part of this. Numbers 13. Send out for yourself such men that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader among them. Everyone a leader among them. What we have here is that there's an assignment that is being released. There's a promise that's being given. That promise is given, and I started looking it up. I wanted to know, how many times did he tell them, I'm giving you the land? 8 times in Genesis, he tells them, I'm giving you the land. When you start looking at Exodus up to this point in Numbers, it's 14 times he talks to them, I'm going to give you the land. I'm giving it to you. Every time they turn around, I'm giving it to you. In Deuteronomy, he talks to them about it 15 times. He said, I'm giving you the land. I'm giving you the land. There was no doubt about what God's intention, the intention of God's heart was. I'm giving you the land. The intention of his heart was to give him the land. There couldn't have been any doubt because he kept saying it over and over. He wouldn't be quiet. There had to be some just general total recognition in their life that God has promised this thing. But see, here's what happens, is a lot of times we hear the promise of God, and then he says, you know what, if you'll start this business, I'm going to do this with you. But then we look at it and we begin to discount what we can do. We begin to disqualify ourselves. Well, you know what, I've never done that. I've never stepped off into that yet. I don't know anything about customer service. I don't know anything about how to add up numbers. I don't know. But, you know, we have a list of reasons why we've disqualified ourselves. God says, I'm giving you the land. Whatever your land is, he says, I'm giving you the land. He's already put a promise in your heart. I don't care if you're a one-day Christian or a thousand-day Christian. He's already put a promise in your heart. You know, God started those processes before I even knew that he existed. He started moving those things in my heart. And it made it hard for me to justify sometimes the things I was doing. And it made it a little awkward to, you know, go hang out with all the gang and all those things, because there was something in my heart that kept, this is not quite it. Be quiet down there. He's given you the land. And we see that when they go out, we went out into verse 27 of chapter 13. They told him, they said, we went out in the land where you sent, and certainly it does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, now we begin with our excuses. Now we begin with our reasonings. Now we begin to look. See, they were more concerned about what they saw. Nevertheless, the people in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They were more concerned about seeing all these things. They were more concerned about the things that they saw than the thing that God had placed in their heart. When we begin to see with our eyes and accept the ocular evidence above the evidence that is placed in our heart, that's a place called unbelief. See, sometimes we would look at it and say, well, you know, they're just being practical. Or sometimes we look at it, you know, they're just being modest. If we look into Hebrews 3, we see what he calls it, disobedience. Well, that went over. I can feel the excitement just tinging the room. But the deal is that when he has given us a word and you have no doubt about the word anymore, when the word has come up and it's being right there in front of you and you're ready and you feel the anticipation of it, and if you don't step out in it, it is just simply not what he's called you to do. Disobedience. When you feel the anticipation of it, you step out with it. When you step out with it, there's a new life that comes, because he's going to put a new spring in your step. He's going to put a new song in your voice. He's going to put a new place in your heart. Because why? Because your heart now is placed in a place of alignment with him. When you begin to move with the alignment, you're moving with the shift. When you move with the shift, atmospheres are broken. When you move with the shift, then changes can happen. Transformation is released. And that transformation is not just limited to you. It goes everywhere. I was going to use the word pandemic, but I thought, well, maybe not everybody's going to understand. But it's okay. It goes everywhere. There's a pandemic shift. An everywhere shift. An everywhere shift. Because of the place of alignment, when we see and hear what God has called us to do. And we know the history of it. We know, see, he gave out. So they gave out verse 32. Well, actually, let's back up to 30 for a moment. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. They were so overwhelmed with what the objection was, they forgot to see what the impetus, the power, the authority was. Caleb never lost sight. Caleb never lost sight. They were busy describing what they could see, and he was busy releasing what was in his heart. In chapter 14, you see in verse, verse 24. See, everybody who was supposed to get in and go into the land wasn't going to be able to, simply because they chose to disqualify themselves. that chose to disqualify themselves. But there's an exception, and that exception is Caleb, and the exception is Joshua. Why? Because they never disqualified themselves. They never said, we won't receive what you're giving us, Lord. They said, Lord, we will take it all, and we'll move forward with it. In verse 24, it says, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. See, the possession was given to all the people. The possession was given to all of them, but only a few of them got to do it because only a few of them would apprehend it, and only a few of them refused to disqualify themselves from what was already given. How many times is it 8 and 14 and so like 38, 37 times? At least 37 times that I counted when I may have missed some because I didn't go through like scripture by scripture by scripture. At least 37 times God said, I'm giving you the land. That's before they got to the moment where they were actually at the edge of the land. They were told it afterwards too. In the book of Joshua, we see there he's still repeating the same promise. I'm giving you the land. But see, all those times that they were told, it still hadn't taken up residence in their heart. God is looking for us to allow these things to take residence in our heart. He's looking for us to make room. That's what this year has been about, is making room in our heart so that we can respond to Him in a spirit of truth. So we can respond to Him in a spirit of obedience. So we can respond to Him and let His Word be the thing that is determining our future. Let His promise be released and change destinies. There's a promise. Every one of us has a realm of influence. Every one of us has a place to release that influence as we hold to that promise. We release influence. As we see us and see ourselves the way He sees us, we're releasing influence. As we just allow the holy desperation in your heart to give it some space and some room, there's a place of influence being released. Go with me. It's Mark 5:6-5. Hallelujah. You have influence, and that influence is released when you'll reach out the way God has given you and set in your heart. Verse 22 of Mark 5. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and upon seeing fell at his feet and entreated him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may get well and live. And he went off. Jesus goes off with him. And a great multitude was following him and pressing in on him. He's about the important business of the kingdom. He's in a crucial moment. See, because in this moment, he's ministering not just to the common person, which he did a lot, but he's ministering to the one of the officials. He's ministering to someone who can shift the government for him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. We know from other accounts that she touched the hem of his garment. First of all, everything in her had to be disqualifying her. Because see, for a woman who has an issue of blood, to be out in public was a stoning offense. It wasn't something that you would have done lightly, because see, you were trained by tradition to not be out in public in that situation. But her desperation was not going to be denied. She said, I have to get better. I have to get well. And I see someone. I see something that can change my life. but it wasn't possible for her to get into him through the press. So we see her coming up and touching the hem of his garment, which means at some point she was probably almost crawling on the ground to reach that hem, to reach through the crowd, to get there without being seen, to get there without anybody else knowing or anybody being able to stop her. Because of the desperation of her heart, she was reaching out and grabbing a hold of something that she saw that was going to make a difference in her life. And it didn't matter that Jesus was about important kingdom business. She said, I have a business for you right here, right now. And I won't be denied. I won't be denied. See, sometimes we would discount ourselves because, well, you know, the pastor's already talking to somebody and they're busy. When I got saved, I wouldn't go up. 2,000 people in that church, and I waited till the last 50 people were in the building, and I went up to the altar because I didn't feel worthy to be prayed for by somebody else. See, that is a spirit, and you don't need it. That unworthiness is who he called you to be. It's not who Jesus Christ is in you. There's nothing in you that's unworthy because Christ is in you. And if there's anything else that's going on, Christ in you will deal with it as long as you'll give him room. So let's give him room. So she's reaching out and she's touching him. Her faith made her well. And Jesus turns around and says, your faith has made you well. And you know what? We can hear that and we can know that. But we also, at the same time, if somebody comes up and says, your faith made you well, we'd probably shy away from, oh, brother, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. No, your faith has something to do with it. Quit shying away from what God called you to be. Quit shying away from where God called you to go and step out into boldness and faith with it. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to myself, I'm sure. Hallelujah. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up and she fell in her body. She was healed of her affliction. Hallelujah. Your faith has made you well. There's a place where God has called you. It's activated by our faith. It's activated by our willingness to step out and believe something about ourselves that maybe we couldn't see even a minute ago. Maybe we couldn't see it just a short time ago, but he says, here is what I'm calling you to do. Here is what I'm doing in your heart. Here is what I prepared for you. Step in. She refused to discount and disqualify herself. Even though tradition said, you can't do this. Something in her heart said, I can. Something in her heart said, I see my answer. And my answer lies in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to go to him until I can know no more. It may cost me my life. But I'm going to go to him. And guess what? It didn't disturb the kingdom business a bit. The kingdom business still got done. He still went to Jairus' house. And Jairus' daughter was raised alive. And everything was set right over there on that side of the picture. But see, she had something happened there. Because why? Because he was commending the faith in this lady. He was commending the faith because she refused to disqualify herself based on tradition. She refused to disqualify herself based on the condition. She refused to disqualify herself based on the crowds and the situation. She said, I'm choosing to follow after that which God has set in front of me. It's here. This is why we're opening our hearts. This is why we're making room, because we want to see what God has called us to see. We want to do what God has called us to do. We want to receive what God said we can receive, and we only receive it if we'll truly enter into it. He says he'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. I want him to baptize me in all of it. Every bit of it. The Holy Spirit in fire. Because now I've come to recognize that all those things that I was trying to protect before, all those things that I was trying to keep a hold of because I thought it kept some kind of order, and those things I can let go of. There's a fire available for you. There's a fire for you. There's a fire that's available for your heart. There's a fire that's available for your neighbor. There's a fire that's available for those who are around you. There's a fire available when you go out and step on the campus. There's a fire that's available no matter where you are at. When you're walking through Walmart, when you're at the hospital, where there's a fire that can make a difference. I was visiting someone in a hospital yesterday. And my great joy is that when we began to share about the Father, this man who was almost comatose began to light up with a fire. He got to light up with a joy. His physical body may be given out, but his spirit is not deterred. His spirit is no less than it was ever. Because why? Because the Spirit of God is still in him. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is in you. It's available to you. What's quickened? You have something you want to add? You look like you're about to get off your seat. Come on.
He's trying to show me up a little bit here. This is a good word about the alignment and the faith and the destinies. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, he's talking about the heart. It's in you. Your destiny. We don't go outside looking for destinies. Let me go find it. You will walk that mountain for years if you start looking like that. Let me go over here. You will walk that mountain for years to the days of old. Until you stop and receive him in. He gonna do a work in you. You're not gonna get away with it. He gonna begin a work. But in that process of the work, he gonna land on your heart. And when he get there, because it's in you and it's available to him, he will expose the destiny to you in Jesus' name. So, Matthew, the 13th chapter, and he spake many things unto him about a parable. Behold, a sower, the Father, the Lord, he went forth. He began to sow into people, onto their hearts. When he sowed and he began, this is how the seeds began to fall. They began to fall by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them. He kept sowing. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness inside of their earthly hearts. When the sun was up, then they were scorched because they had no root, nothing in them, no root, no foundations. Those seeds began to wither away. But he kept sowing. He kept going. He wouldn't give up the process of continue to sow to begin a good work so I can get to your heart so I can expose what you're supposed to be doing. Somebody tell him yes. And so he kept going. And as he kept going, my God, the seeds began to fall on some good ground. He hit some good ground now. He didn't get good ground now. I feel some good ground in here. And when he hit a good ground, it's bringing forth some fruit. And the way this fruit began to come forth is coming forth 100-fold, 60-fold, and some 30-fold. This is the time that your destiny is to come forth. And you're not, come on. This is the time. This is the alignment. This is the alignment. This is the position. It doesn't matter if you're down here asking for it. It's no different than you being on top asking for it. As long as you're not outside the foundations of Him looking for it. You're in a good place. Come on, somebody. You're in a good place by asking it for it from Him. And not allowing a good work to begin. Anybody that's going to stand and tell you about a destiny, they're going to stand and tell you about a good work He did in me. Amen, somebody. Your testimony is not just you got there and you reaped. And you're 100-fold, and you're 60-fold, and you're 30-fold. It ain't going to be a true overcomer testimony by the blood of the Lamb until you stand and say, He did a good work down on the inside of me. Because that's what brings the destiny. Come on, somebody. Tell Him yes. So I just want to encourage you for the proper alignment. That alignment that as He's sowing now, what is He saying about alignment? The Father is saying, I'm throwing the seed. I'm out there now. I'm trying to see which way is it coming up. I'm trying to see what ground I threw it on. Because I know something is supposed to come forth back up. And we have a part in this.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to add this. Because next week, Tina's going to do the presenting. So, at least to the best of our ability. That's our intention. So, but she's going to come. So I just want to make sure that you're aware of that, because I think there's something special that there's God has been stirring up in her heart for this body. The next thing I wanted to do is remind you of the initial point. It's your response. God has made His will known. He makes His will known to you. And when His will is known to you, it's your response that determines what happens next far more than anything else. Because His will is already released on your behalf. His will is already released for your goodness. His will is already released for your freedom. His will is already released for your healing. It's this response that we allow in our heart that determines where we go with it. So today, Lord, we choose to let You fill us up.